We're continuing to follow our top story today, reaction to the guilty verdicts against Derek Chauvin in the death of George Floyd. But we also do need to spend a few moments on the global pandemic. More than 3 million people have now died around the world since it started more than a year ago. We have three reporters in three different countries now where the virus is raging. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley is in Paris. Hi, Eleanor.
Hello, Peter.
And Philip Reeves is in Rio de Janeiro. Phil, hello.
Hi.
And we have Lauren Frayer in Mumbai, India. Lauren, welcome to you.
Hi there.
And Lauren, let's start with you. In fact, India is now recording nearly 300,000 new COVID infections per day. That's staggering, even when you account for a population of 1.4 billion people in the country. How would you characterize what's happening in India right now?
I mean, I would characterize it as a five-alarm health emergency. Hospitals in Delhi say they will probably run out of oxygen at some point today. Oxygen deliveries are coming in under police guard because of the danger of looting. People are buying oxygen tanks on the black market and stockpiling them at home because there is simply no point in trying to get to a hospital now. There are crowds of people outside of hospitals in cities across India. They are dying in parking lots outside because they can't get in. We're seeing shortages of antiviral drugs, even test kits. So, yes, today India confirmed 295,000 new cases. But the real number is probably many, many times that because people aren't even able to get tested. And also, sadly, more and more deaths. Morgues and crematoriums are overloaded. It's really hard to imagine how this could get any worse here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, how did it get so bad, Lauren? I mean, it wasn't long ago. I was speaking to reporters in India that felt the number of infections had gotten under control and things that were looking pretty good.
It was. It was looking really good. 2 months ago, it seemed like COVID had pretty much disappeared here. And so everything went back to normal. Business travel resumed. People were throwing big weddings. There was less social distancing, less mask compliance. And so now, you know, scientists are telling me that two things happened at once. People let their guard down, and also we've seen new variants emerge here.
Philip Reeves in Rio, when Lauren speaks about variants, I can't help but want to talk to you about that as well. Doctors Without Borders describes what's happening there in your country as a humanitarian catastrophe. We've been reporting on the variants surging in Brazil. What are you seeing there now?
It bears some similarities with what Lauren's just been talking about, but the biggest problem at the moment is a lack of sedatives and relaxants, muscle relaxants and other medications needed for people who are in intensive care. The level of occupation, the occupancy rate of intensive care units in hospitals across Brazil has been extremely high in the last few weeks, and there have been numerous reports of hospitals running out of or getting very short of the sedatives that they need to put people onto mechanical ventilation. Some media reports have come out here in the Brazilian press about how without that, they have resorted to tying the hands of patients to the sides of their beds because when you wake up, when you're on a respirator, if you come out of if you become conscious again, having been unconscious, your body's natural reaction is to try to tear out the tubes unless you have sedatives to keep you calm. And there's been pictures of patients in that condition. Efforts are being made to get more of these into the country, and some have arrived recently, but it's a very serious problem here. And so, yeah, the pandemic is out of control, badly out of control here, and it is a crisis, a humanitarian crisis.
And is the Brazilian president, Jair Bolsonaro, acknowledging yet that this problem is only getting worse?
He has started to talk about the pandemic in different language. I'm sure you remember what it was like when the pandemic first landed in Brazil and the language that Bolsonaro used back then. He called it a little flu. He said it was nothing to be worried about. He was highly dismissive of it. And he showed that in his behavior, which undermined social distancing measures that the governors and mayors that were trying to introduce. He very rarely wore a mask. He dived into crowds. He still does that bit, but he has changed in his attitude in other areas. He talks about this being a war now against the pandemic, and he claims to be supportive of vaccines, which he certainly wasn't until recently.
Why don't we move over to Europe? Eleanor Beardsley, you're in Paris there in its third national lockdown now because of another wave of cases. What are you seeing out your window, and what's the situation like there?
Right. Well, nothing so harrowing as what my colleagues are describing, thankfully. But, you know, the French government spokesman said that we're now at the peak of the third wave, but the lockdown, the third, as you said, is beginning to show effects. But, you know, there's nowhere to go. Everything's closed. It's sort of just like this low-grade continuation of this pandemic that just will not go away. And the government, the French government, has just banned flights from India today, and flights from Brazil were already banned. So they definitely want to keep these new mutant variants out.
You know, Europe has been sort of lagging on the vaccine front for a while now. Yesterday, an EU regulator did acknowledge a possible link to blood clots with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but also said the benefits still outweigh the risks. How would you say France is doing on the vaccine front?
Well, France started very, very slowly and was one of the worst countries. But now President Macron says it's actually got one of the highest rates of vaccination within the EU, but no one is, you know, Germany's not doing very well either. So about a quarter of the French have now had at least one dose. And it really is picking up pace. We're having mass vaccinations in stadiums. But it's true, you know, these glitches with Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca, it's been a setback because, you know, not only does that, you know, Europe was counting on those vaccines, so there's been some shortages, but also it just, you know, it builds the mistrust over taking the vaccine. But Macron spoke yesterday, said it's picking up pace, and the commissioner in charge of vaccines in Europe, Thierry Breton, said that the EU should be able to have 70% of its citizens vaccinated by mid-July.
Well, that gets me to my final question, and that is whether or not you know, all three of the countries that you are in are suffering right now in one way or another. I want to ask each of you if you think there is some hope, though, even if things are difficult now, that maybe better days are ahead. Eleanor, it sounds like you're saying maybe.
Yeah, you know, the vaccines today, we were told that even without AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, if they, you know, don't come through, that the EU can vaccinate all of its citizens by the end of the summer because they're just ramping up production as well. More than a billion doses are going to be made. And also, you know, Peter, in mid-May, outdoor cafes in Paris may be able to reopen.
Phil, what's the hope in Brazil?
Well, we are in the tunnel, and I see no light at the end of it at this point. The vaccination program is still lagging behind many others. I think the number now for people who've had two doses is under 7%. The number of those who've had one dose is around 17%, but one dose is of no use because the vaccine that's mostly used here offers almost no protection after one dose. And matters are not made any easier, but that the only other instrument you have to try to control transmission is quarantines, lockdown, restrictions on movement. I walked out of the house the other day, walked a few blocks. It was a Saturday night. There were hundreds and hundreds of young Brazilians standing in a crowd by the seawall, drinking beer for hours on end. None of them were wearing masks, almost defiantly. And yet on the other side of the street, on the sidewalk, there was the local neighborhood who were wearing masks and looking across the street, you know, disapprovingly at this group of people who obviously they perceived to be a threat, which, of course, in terms of the pandemic, indeed they are.
Lauren, what about you there in India?
I mean, it's pretty hard to be optimistic. I haven't left my house in 22 days. Lockdowns here are so strict that you're not even allowed to go out for a walk. Police are patrolling the streets. I mean, the lesson of India may be, like, we just can't let our guard down. I mean, this virus is waiting for when we do. India thought it had put this pandemic behind it, and now, you know, maybe paying the price. I look at these scenes of the U.S. and people opening up, and I really hope the pandemic is behind people there, and I hope that these variants that are still flaring in other parts of the world don't catch up with everyone.
That's Lauren Freyer in Mumbai, Philip Reeves in Rio de Janeiro, and Eleanor Beardsley reporting from Paris. Thanks to all of you. Stay well.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Peter.